गम्यताम शक्र भाद्रम वा क्रियताम मे अनुशासनम स्थियाताम स्वाधिकारेषु युक्तायर्वा स्तंभ वार्जिताय। Indra, you may go now. Execute my order and remain in your appointed position as the King of Heaven. But be sober without false pride. Purport. Lord here addresses Indra in the plural form, Vaha, because this grave instruction was meant to be a lesson for all the demigods. Ataha surabi krishnam abhivandya manasvini swasanthanayar upaya mantraya gopa rupinam ishvaram. Mother Surabhi, along with her progeny, the cows, then offered her obeisances to Lord Krishna, respectfully requesting his attention. The gentle lady addressed the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who was present before her as a cowherd boy. Report. The statement here that the heavenly cow Surabhi approached Lord Krishna along with her progeny, Swasanthanai, is a reference to the transcendental cows who play with Lord Krishna in Vrindavan. Although Lord Krishna's cows are transcendental, the heavenly cow Surabhi affectionately saw them, and indeed Lord Krishna himself did, as indeed Lord Krishna himself did, as related to her. Since Lord Krishna was appearing in the form of a cowherd boy, the whole situation was quite congenial, and Surabhi took the opportunity to offer the following prayers. Surabhir Uvacha, Krishna Krishna Mahayogin, Vishvatmam Vishvasambhava, Bhavata Lokanatena Sanatha Vayamachuta. Mother Surabhi said, O Krishna, Krishna, greatest of mystics, O soul and origin of the universe, you are the master of the world, and by your grace, O infallible Lord, we have you as our master. Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur points out here that Mother Surabhi is feeling great ecstasy as she repeats the words Krishna, Krishna. Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill by his mystic power and thus protected the cows of Vrindavan, whereas her so-called master Indra had tried to kill him. Thus Surabhi now clearly understands that it is not the demigods, but rather the supreme God, Krishna himself, who is her real master forever. Tvam na paramakam daivam, tvam na indro jagatpate, bhavaya bhava govipra, devanam ye chashadhava. You are our worshipable deity. Therefore, O Lord of the universe, for the benefit of the cows, the Brahmins, and the demigods, and all saintly persons, please become our Indra. Purport. The Supreme Lord is self-sufficient. He can do anything and everything himself. The Lord appointed one of his innumerable children to the position of Indra, the Lord of the cosmic heaven. But Indra abused his authority, and now Surabhi requests Lord Krishna, the absolute truth, to directly become her Lord, her Indra. We should carefully perform our duties without false pride. Thus we will not become obsolete and embarrassed, as in the present case of King Indra, who actually attacked Krishna and his Vrindavan devotees.
Om Agyan Timirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Jinatas Moi Sri Guru Venamaha. Here we find Lord Krishna responding to Lord Indra's prayers of humility. He has said that a man blinded by intoxication with his power and opulence cannot see me nearby, even when I have the rod of punishment in my hand. Therefore, if I desire his real welfare, I drag him down from his materially fortunate position. Indra, you may go now. Execute my order and remain in your appointed position as King of Heaven, but be sober without false pride. Here we find that although Indra was an offender, what was his offense? That due to false ego, he considered himself to be the cause and the doer of his activities. He did not recognize the truth that Krishna is all in all, that all of his power, all of his intelligence, all of his wealth, everything are the gifts of God. And therefore, sanity means to recognize this and reciprocate with a grateful heart by offering everything in the loving service of the Lord. But he was thinking that it was by his power, by his karma, by his intelligence, that he had this vast empire of being the King of Heaven. People are very proud. They think that I have done this with my own hands. I have accomplished this by my intelligence. When I came in, it was only this big, but by my glorious efforts, look at how everything has expanded. Look at how it's glorified. It's glorious. And of course, if it is glorious, it is only an expansion of my glory. This is the illusion state of a conditioned soul. But a great devotee of the Lord knows that everything is happening by the grace of Krishna, that everything is coming by the gifts of Krishna, that we cannot breathe, we cannot exist for a second without Krishna's perpetual help. At every moment he's saving our life. At every moment he is the creator, he is the maintainer, and he is the destroyer of everything. We cannot create, we cannot maintain, and we cannot destroy anything without the sanction, the blessings, and the gifts of the higher powers of God. That Indra, we read in the Shastra again and again and again, he becomes forgetful of this. Here we find he's offending the Supreme Lord Krishna himself due to false pride. And you see how terribly Krishna has to crush his ego. And Krishna says, it's by my mercy that I dragged you down from your fortunate position and made you realize that what is the difference between you and an insect? The only difference is I've put you in a higher position. Punar mushtaka bhava. And if I want, I can put you in a position lower than the insect within a second. That is my power. On another occasion, it is explained that Indra was sitting on his throne with his beloved queen, Sachi, and the demigods were offering prayers, and Brahmins were off reciting Vedic slokas, and Gandharvas were singing for him, and Apsaras were dancing for him. It was wonderful, wonderful festivities, all in honor of the King of Heaven. And it is described at that time, Brihaspati, his guru entered into that assembly, and Indra, although he knew that his guru had come, because he was sitting in such a high position and accepting so much worship, he did not get down from his high seat to place his head at the feet of his guru. In fact, he ignored him. And because of that, Brihaspati understood that he's finished. If because of pride, he is disrespecting his spiritual master, no matter what his position, this is his greatest misfortune. And Brihaspati, with a sad heart, not that he was offended at not being properly respected, but he was simply very sad to see the foolishness of his disciple. So he left that place without saying anything. And after he left, Indra came to his senses and realized that he had offended his guru. And if you offend guru, yasya prasadat bhagavat prasado yasya prasada nagati gotopi, then Krishna's mercy will be withdrawn. And without Krishna's mercy, nothing can protect you. There's nothing you can do on your own to make it without Krishna's mercy, spiritually, materially, on any level. So the demons, they understood that he offended his guru, so they took advantage, and he had no powers left. They totally conquered him. He had to run from his life, run from his kingdom. He became like a poverty-stricken mendicant hiding for his life. And he realized it was all because he offended his Gurudev. Therefore, he had to perform great atonement in tapasya to again get the mercy of the Gurudev and the Brahmins. Anyways, here we find that Indra is gratefully accepting. Again and again, he forgets. Spiritually, we are all like children. Children, when we try to learn how to walk, sometimes we walk very nicely, and then we become very proud. Ah, just see how I'm walking so nicely. But then all of a sudden you trip and you fall and you cut yourself or you break your bones and then you cry. And then you have to get up again. And then you fall and then you get up again. Until you actually become very strong. It is like that. As soon as we start getting little success, we become very proud. We start thinking we're good devotees. People say, oh, you are such a nice devotee. You're becoming very advanced. You're so wonderful. You are glorious. You are really a sadhu. And we start thinking, ah, yes, very nice. Just see how I'm advancing in Krishna consciousness. And then one day, someone looks at you and says, you're a useless rascal. It's like a crushing blow to our false ego. As we're making a little advancement, we start getting a little proud. And then we realize that we're really not so good after all. We're controlling our senses, we're doing great tapasya, then all of a sudden somebody leaves the Mahaprasad in an accessible place, and we realize that we're not so advanced after all. Huh? In this way, it's a fact. Spiritually, materially, as soon as we start becoming a little successful, we start thinking, just see everyone, how everyone's recognizing my greatness. Like children. But then, all of a sudden, someone comes into our life and makes us realize that we're really not so good after all. And it very much hurts terribly our egos. But then we have to get up again. So anyways, this childishness even goes up to the level of great, great kings. Not only kings of this world, but the kings of the higher planets. Indra time and time again becomes intoxicated by everyone telling him how great he is, that he actually starts believing them, thinking, yes, I am very great. And as soon as you think you're great, then you naturally offend people. you offend your guru, you offend God, you offend the Vaishnavas, you offend ordinary living beings, you offend the dignity of your own soul. But Lord Krishna's mercy is he doesn't want our false ego to continue to expand. So his greatness is he drags us down from our position. He shows us, either through some natural disturbance, through our own inadequacies, or through some other merciful person who appears merciless, he shows us that we're really not much at all. We're nothing. Really, all we have is the mercy of Krishna. That's all we ever did have. It's all we ever will have. And to recognize that is Krishna consciousness. Anyways, Lord Krishna, because Indra approached him through his beloved devotee Surabhi, Krishna was willing to hear his prayers. Krishna saw that Indra became the servant of the servant of his servants, and he became satisfied. And here it is, this little cowherd boy, 7 years old, covered with the dirt of Vrindavan. He's speaking to this effulgent, dynamic, heroic, and powerful king of all the heavens. And he's saying, Indra, now you may go. You should know, Indra, that I am your master and I am your boss, and don't forget that. You are my servant. Now you may go. But my order is that you remain in your appointed position. It is a fact that sometimes the Lord wants us to engage in an activity of devotional service, which is very dangerous, which is very bewildering to remain Krishna conscious within. Just like our Nimai Pandit, he's a student of IIT, Praveen Ananda. Big aristocratic, prestigious university. So many tens and thousands of people are struggling, striving to get into this school of IIT. And because of its prestige and because of the heavy pressures, you have to just tax your tiny brains with all these studies. It's very difficult to remain Krishna conscious. So Nimai Pandit, he wanted to give it up. What is the use of this school? He wanted to come and live like a brahmachari in the ashram. He was thinking, this too much false ego and all these diversions, why should I continue? But just as Krishna told Indra, remain in your appointed position. Similarly, he was sent back. Similarly, Ananda Vrindavan, he works in the stock exchange. One of the, perhaps the craziest possible place for a devotee to be. Amongst gamblers, where everyone is simply greedy for money. No, it's not a brahminical occupation. Yesterday, Ananda Vrindavan Prabhu was trying to explain to me how difficult it is to be a first-class, peaceful, honest Brahmin in the stock exchange. First of all, the stock exchange is not a brahminical atmosphere at all. And if you want to be a Brahmin in the stock exchange, you might as well just give all your stocks in charity and buy some cows with whatever you get. Brahmins, the only stock a Brahmin has is cows, right? In fact, in America, it's called livestock. You've heard of that? That word livestock means cows. Stockyards means the place you keep your cows. So in Vrindavan, they have a stock exchange also, where they just take care of their cows. But anyways, to be in such a position, he also wanted to come and live in this ashram. But he was told, you get married and continue your occupation. And every morning he's telling us how difficult it is to not be egoistic, to not have false prestige, to not be greedy, to not be attached. And of course, the easy thing is just to give it up. But here we find Krishna's telling Indra, who's in the most intoxicating of all positions, he's saying no. He said, you remain in your, my order is you remain in your appointed position as the king of heaven, but be sober without false pride. If you can simply be sober without false pride, you can do any of these activities in a spirit of devotional service. But as soon as we become proud, everything is spoiled. Everything becomes material to the degree we have false pride. And everything is spiritual to the degree we understand we are the humble servant of Krishna and his devotees. And how to remain free of pride? We have to understand the Vedic system is we must constantly be seeking the association of sadhus and serving them with all humility. We see in the Shastra, whenever a sadhu would come to the home, even of a great king like Dasarath, he would just worship them and just be so humble to serve them, whatever their position. It is by humbly serving sadhus and learning from them how to be charitable, we can be humble. Hearing from them, even accepting chastisement from them. That is how we remain humble, even in this condition of the King of Heaven. But it is described that here Krishna is explaining Indra, you go. And in the next verses, we're going to find how Surabhi prays to Lord Krishna. And then Indra and Surabhi perform the beautiful Abhishek for the pleasure of the Lord. And then Indra goes. He went back to the heavenly planets, but then he was thinking, I have committed a great offense. I really need the Lord's great mercy. So it is described that he and Surabhi, they understood that in the next age, Kali Yuga, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, appears in his most merciful, most benevolent, and most forgiving manifestation of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he appears in Sri Navadvip Dham. So therefore, Indra and Surabhi both went to Navadvip. And there was a holy banyan tree. And they both took their residence under that banyan tree to perform severe tapasya to get the mercy of Lord Gauranga. For years and years and years, they performed great, great tapasya. Indra wanted to get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya because he knew that Mahaprabhu's mercy is the supremest. That if we really want to get the mercy of Krishna, it's most accessible through Lord Gauranga. And Surabhi simply wanted to worship him out of love. The fruit of their tapasya took place when Lord Gaurasundar personally appeared before Indra with his wonderful, wonderful golden complexion, arms elongated beyond his knees, beautiful curling blackish hair, lotus-like eyes, every limb so beautiful that they conquer the mind of Cupid, with beautiful garlands of sweet-scented wild flowers hanging from his illustrious broad chest, effulgent We cannot even compare the brilliance of millions of suns to this effulgent. Because millions of suns, however bright they may be, they are still limited to the material energy. But Mahaprabhu's effulgence is pure spiritual light. Such beauty. Such absolute perfection is manifested by this most merciful form of God. And Indra surrendered unto the lotus feet of Sri Gaurasundar, who told Indra that you always chant the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. And Indra prayed for the opportunity to serve this divine form of Lord Gauranga. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu naturally forgave him for all his offenses. And he told him that when I appear in the age of Kali, in this most beautiful form, you will have the opportunity to serve me. You will have an opportunity to assist in this divine lila. And you will always remember me. And Indra, out of great love, he simply prayed to Lord Gauranga. Because upon seeing him and chanting his holy name, he became so purified, he only wanted one thing. That you kindly deliver all living beings with the holy name of Krishna. Let me just assist you in distributing the name of Krishna to the most fallen. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu granted Indra the perfection of his life. And then he sent Indra back to resume his status as the king of heaven. But Surabhi, she understood that Navadvip Dham was none other than Lord Gaurasundar himself. And she simply did not want to leave. So it is explained that that transcendental cow remained in Navadvip waiting for the Lord to appear and perform his wonderful lila. And that wonderful banyan tree is still there today. It is called Surabhi Kund, the place of Mother Surabhi. And that is on an island called Godramdweep. It is called Godramdweep because go means the cow and drum means tree. It is the place where the Surabhi cow had the beautiful darshan of Lord Gauranga and is always waiting for his mercy. Godramdweep is one of the nine isles of Naivadweep. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur especially and very purposely made his residence just near Surabhi Kunja in Godramdweep. So anyways, we see how what appeared to be a very humiliating and terrible experience for King Indra became the gateway to higher divine transcendental experiences. Sometimes devotees make mistakes. However great we may be, or however small we may be, in the eyes of men, we make mistakes. Krishna wants us to make mistakes sometimes. But a devotee, when he makes a mistake, he takes a humble position, and Krishna arranges that the mistake that we made facilitates entrance into higher realizations and revelations of Krishna consciousness. Krishna can transform the entire material energy into spiritual energy by his will. Similarly, he could transform whatever we do into something very auspicious. If we are sincere, if we're willing to atone and if we're humble. If we purposely fall down, that's a very bad thing. But somehow or other, if we make a mistake and just get caught up in this illusory energy, which is very implicating, and we happen to fall down a little, but we really atone for that and are humble, Krishna can take that very fall down and give and make use of it to give us higher, more divine realizations than we ever would have had before. So a devotee should not be ashamed of his own shortcomings and inadequacies. A devotee should just try to do his best in a humble spirit of devotion. And if we do that, even if we don't do it right, Krishna will transform it into an opportunity for wonderful, wonderful advancement in Krishna consciousness. Because of Indra's great mistake, and it was a terrible mistake, Krishna punished him. Krishna made Indra suffer. For one who has been honored, dishonor is worse than death. Indra suffered a fate worse than death. He was totally humiliated. He sent his Samvartaka clouds and he sent all of his hosts of assistants to destroy Vrindavan. And right before all his own disciples, servants, and assistants, he was completely defeated. Do you know how painful that was to his ego? But after he realized that this pain is good for me, he surrendered to Krishna. And he atoned. And he performed tapasya in Navadvip Dham. And he had the beautiful, splendid darshan of Lord Gaurachandra, who gave him the holy name. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, 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 Hare. And besides that, while he was in Gokul, in Vrindavan, such a wonderful opportunity Krishna gave him to perform the Abhishek. We'll read about that. Tomorrow we will read and discuss these beautiful prayers of Sarabhi to Lord Sri Krishna. Is there any questions?
Maharaj, what does rejecting the spiritual master mean? Hmm. And what does rejecting the spiritual master mean? And
rejecting means to give up his instructions. That is the preliminary state of rejecting. To think that we know better. The guru is none different from his instructions. When we reject the instruction, we reject the guru. Even if we may be fallen, if we still are trying to be faithful and loyal to his instruction, then to that extent, we're still accepting him, although we may not be doing a very good job. But when we act independently and go where we want, do what we want, that is rejecting our spiritual master. How does a wife reject her husband? If she's going off with some other man, she may say she's accepting her husband, but actually, in essence, she's rejected him. To not be chaste and faithful and devoted to the order of Guru is to reject Guru. But if we're honestly and humbly trying, despite our shortcomings and our fall downs, we haven't rejected. Any other questions?
This problem of false pride, as you say, that the only solution for us, this false pride, is to have an association of sincere devotees. And once you have a sincere association of the sincere devotees, then it can be somewhat solved out. Now, when you go and have an association with sincere devotees, the problem is these devotees are very sincere. They are very, very elevated. And once you try to associate with them, you have all material conditioning and everything is there in your head, and your conduct, your nature would not be so much to that level. So this association, these devotees, once you try to go with them and just try to associate with them, they see the material conditioning of us. And they feel it that because if I associate with this chap, there are chances that I will also try to be in that trap. So it's better they used to have some distance with us, thinking that I don't like to be because I will be having some problem of having association with them and I will become somewhat bad. So they used to keep some distance with us.
Huh? Oh, they don't want to be with you mean?
Yeah. So on one side, because of our material conditioning is so bad that we strive our level best to come to that level, but we can't do it as quick as it can. And they used to keep a distance with us. Now, if they keep a distance with us, we have no hope altogether to have our purification. So how to see to it that they don't try to keep a distance with us and have the same association, although we have all material conditioning in our head?
You approach with humility and a desire to serve, no one wants to keep a distance from you. But if you want to lord it over them or broadcast your own greatness, then they will want to keep a distance from you. So by your own behavior, you will either attract their mercy or you will chase away their mercy. No matter who we are, if we come in a humble service attitude, what devotee will not want to give us their association? If we approach as a servant of the servant of the servant, all wonderful devotees will want to give you everything they have. But if we approach that I am your master, I am your lord, or we try to impress them by our spiritual or material qualities, then sadhus, they just become completely indifferent to you. Sadhus are only attracted to a humble service attitude, nothing else. Real sadhus. Materially oriented people, they may be attracted to our intelligence, to our fame, to our money. But a real sadhu is only attracted by our service attitude. And wherever that humble service attitude is, everyone wants to come together with that. You can just maintain that disposition. All sadhus and all devotees will just welcome your association with such open and loving hearts. But as soon as we approach with false pride, then they become indifferent to us. Sometimes out of exceptional mercy, they'll give us their association just to try to help us get rid of their pride. But in their hearts, they become very indifferent. Any other questions? Hari Bol, thank you very much.